reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 13, 14, 15. The chapter 13 follows chapter 12. Chapter 12 is discussing the sub-creation of Brahma. Sub-creation meaning there's the primary creation of Vishnu, Sarva, and then there's the sub-creation, what Brahma does after that, after what Vishnu does. These are two principal topics of the Bhagavatam, Sarga Visarga, creation, sub-creation. So how the universe is constructed, that's the work of Brahma. And then he starts to fill up the universe for the purpose that the universe is to serve. So there's creation of Kumaras, that's the title of the chapter 12. And 10 great sages and so forth. Then there's necessary, there's necessary resources or facilities to achieve the purpose of the creation. So when there's living entities, particularly human living entities, resources that help them achieve the purpose, not just fulfillment of material desire, but elevation of consciousness. So different features. So chapter 13 opens with his manifesting Manu, Swayambhuva Manu in Shatarupa. For they have two main functions. They give laws to the human society to conduct themselves for the purpose of the universe being created, laws of mankind. And they further establish lines of prajapatis, the good population. Begins with Shatarupa and Swayambhuva Manu, or, you know, depending upon the yuga cycles, the different Manus. This is their the two main functions. So, these two are manifest in an adult form from the very beginning, directly from the body of Brahma. In other words, similar to Brahma being produced directly from the body of Vishnu without the help of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Brahma has immense creative power, and just from his thought that there's need for such an entity, the entity appears from his body. Very powerful. And their description is given, and their first question is basically, is there some service for us? And Brahma replies, your attitude is very pleasing. And there is some service for you. And the service for you is the Prajapati service he describes for them. Text 12. O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned soul, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. So he's outlining not the details, but the direction of their service to him and the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So text 13. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, with a capital S, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. So this is Daibhi Varnashram, or performing sacrifice, Yagyavai Vishnu, performing sacrifice for the satisfaction of Vishnu. This is the Vedic paradigm. Duty is defined in terms of its ultimate purpose. And the ultimate purpose is not to achieve artha or economic development, or the strength of economic development to achieve sense gratification. That's the material paradigm. And the Vedic paradigm is satisfaction of the Personality of Godhead. Svanusatasya dharmasya samsadhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam, satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the objective. That's the frame, the paradigm. So, right from the very beginning, this is not just the beginning of one of Brahma's days, this is the beginning of the creation, beginning of his life. So he's laying down the foundational principles for the purpose of creation, giving them to Manu, and Manu in turn giving them to mankind. Purport. Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs, and he in turn deputes Manu and others as the, there's a French term, chargé d'affaires. He's in charge of the affairs of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord, and similarly persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service consisting of the ninefold processes of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own self-interest to execute prescribed devotional service. And anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses, but above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the individual self, and above the individual self is the super self. Above even the super self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva, the primeval Lord, and the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. The complete process of perfectional devotional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. Very simple. Please, Krishna. The distinction between material activity and spiritual activity is not per se in what it looks like, because it may look very similar. may even look identical. But it's the consciousness behind the activity. And consciousness is subtle and therefore kind of elusive. And so it's important for us as learning about the process of devotional service behavior modification isn't the essence. Consciousness transformation is the essence, and that's where attention should go. Because when consciousness is transformed, naturally what flows is the alignment of the activities of the senses. The senses includes the mind, the sixth sense. If the intention is clear, so they're asking Shatrupa and Swami Bhumana, what's our service? And he's giving the service. And then he's saying, but this is the consciousness behind the service. And if you're not attentive to that, then everything is to no avail. And if you can achieve that, then you can do your service properly. It's subtle, and so it's hard to capture it. And we're conditioned. We're conditioned to see mind as Krishna. It's just material conditioning. But there's no mind as Krishna. It's illusion, mind as Krishna. So to see in relation to Krishna, that's the essence. The givers of law for mankind is Manu. And Manu's... Brahma's essence is to please Krishna. Manu's essence is to please Brahma, which is to please Krishna. And saying, this is for us. We have our duties to do. We learn values and conduct and things. The Krishna consciousness aspect is something that's what the Bhagavatam is for. We should hear regularly, mold our lives around that cultivation of Krishna consciousness. As he says, he is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. We're in a material atmosphere, not just prakriti, material nature, gross matter that's not conscious. Not only were, in the age of Kali, where the mode of darkness is more prominent, passion is quite prominent, and so surrounding us is an atmosphere that's not conducive for what the message of the Bhagavatam is, and therefore all the more reason the importance of regularly chanting, regularly hearing, regularly engaging in reminders that our real mission in life is not... What's our real self-interest in life? It's not get ahead. The conditioning around us is the material one. And it's not, minor, it's major. So the community of devotees need to hear the message and hear it regularly and remind one another and live according to the message. The real goal of doing your duties nicely is that Krishna should be pleased. So he's just reminding them. Brahma's reminding Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. Daivi Varnashram, not just Varnashram. Not just be a responsible person. Be Krishna conscious, please Krishna, responsible person. text 14. So mind you, we're at the beginning stages of creation. It's Satya Yuga. Svayambhuva Manu is the Manu at the beginning stages of Satya Yuga. Sri Manu said, "Oh, all-powerful Lord, O killer of all sins, I shall abide by your order. Now, please let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me." Next, "O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great water, because it is the dwelling place for all living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord." So, although he's just appeared, he's well informed. Somehow he doesn't read the news, but somehow he knows that early in the process of creation, while Brahma's been busy building the universe and so forth, the Earth planet fell out of orbit because I find it interesting. That is, Svayambhuva Manu is born at a very early stage, but already Hiranyaksha is up to his dirty business. So they've been at it for some time. Now, it doesn't give chronology, like this happened and then immediately the very next thing that was spoken was that. Not necessarily like that, maybe. Not necessarily like that. But Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they're very early. And then it's also puzzling because Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were sons of Diti. So this must have come about at a later point in time. I'm anticipating somebody saying, "What's going on here?" We mentioned it yesterday evening. The Bhagavatam is not laid out per se chronologically. It's transcendentally logically, but not chronologically. So when Manu is asking this question, must be somewhat later in the process of creation. And so he appeals to Lord Brahma. The Earth planet fell out of orbit because, you know, the connecting is the previous, what's the place of the living entities who will be my offspring? So he's the lawgivers of mankind. He's going to create human beings, and human beings, some of them, are residents of the Earth planet. So he's informing Brahma, Earth fell out of its orbit. And by your endeavor and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, things can be corrected. Now, it doesn't express the alarm that he's feeling. I'm sure he's feeling some of that. But he also has confidence in Brahma's capacity. Text 16. Sri Maitreya said, "Thus, seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time how it could be lifted." Now, Brahma's long time is a really long time. So the earth was in trouble for a long time. Purport. According to Jiva Goswami, the topics delineated here are of different millenniums. Millenniums means yuga cycles. The present topics are of Shweta Varaha, white Varaha, and topics regarding the Chakshusha millennium are also discussed in this chapter. So it's a detail, but Bhagavatam only has a number, a limited number of verses. 18,000 is a lot of verses, but to cover all the topics of the personality guided, it would take an unlimited text, but it's limited. So Jiva Goswami is explaining Varaha appears in different features in different manus. Now, the present topics are the Shweta Varaha Millennium. So, Shweta Varaha Millennium apparently is during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu. But then there's another Manu, Chakshusha Manu. And Shukadev isn't, or at least the Maitreya is not delineating between the two different Manus. He's merging them. Is it clear? Yes? Do I need to explain this further, or is it clear? Okay. Huh?
Can you repeat again?
What?
Can you repeat again?
Sure. It was a little muddled, I thought. So, Maitreya is speaking. He's narrating the appearance of Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha appears during different manus, during different yuga cycles as well. So, there's a white one and there's a red one. Shweta Varaha, Rakta Varaha. They appear during different manus. This is Swayambhuva Manu, but the narration is not differentiating between the two. In fact, they're kind of merging or splicing the two. Just for convenience sake or for simplicity's sake, and part of the reason is rather than 100,000 verses, it's an 18,000, so it's combining the two. This Jiva Goswami's explanation. And, unless you're super scholarly, you wouldn't even pick up on it. But those that are familiar with the Vedas and various features, there's this over here and there's that over there, how do they fit together? Well, it's two different Varahas. And he's not differentiating between the two as he's explaining them. He's explaining them as if it's one Varaha. But Jiva Goswami wants us to know it's more than one Varaha, and it's just narrating in a combined fashion. Text 17, this is our final text. Brahma thought, while I've been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. So this is instructive for us. What do you do when you see you're doing some service and the plan was a good plan? The intentions were good intentions. And as you're going along, something's not going right. What do you do? Don't just go into problem solving. I mean, some attention needs to be given to something is going wrong. But don't just go into problem solving. You turn your attention to Krishna. Otherwise, you're in false ego and you're in the material atmosphere by absence of Krishna consciousness. purport. The devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. They have full faith in the Lord, and He paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Now, Brahma is very powerful, and we're not. But the principle doesn't change because we're not very powerful. The principle remains. And the principle is, he's a servant of Lord Vishnu. And in the course of serving Lord Vishnu, everything pretty much has gone according to plan. I mean, not perfectly. He wanted the four Kumaras to assist him in creating progeny, and that's not what happened. But that was also the Lord's plan. So, when we're carrying out duties, each of us, servant of Lord Vishnu, or servant of Krishna, carrying out our duties, something arises that's not according to what we were expecting. And he's considering very carefully, you know, two things, practically speaking, what is to be done, and his dependence doesn't go to his abilities, his dependence goes to the personality Godhead, who provided him with the ability to go as far as he got. So, you know, same for us. We have our limitations. Brahma has his limitations. And there's a bigger plan of the Lord, and Brahma is part of the bigger plan of the Lord. And where do we fit into that bigger plan of the Lord? Something like the discussion from yesterday about Bhishma Dev. The Lord has a plan, and one can't fully understand it. To some extent, some can understand it, but they can't fully understand it. But we have a service to do, and so Brahma's considering what to do. And he's fully dependent upon the personality of Godhead. So based on the combination of those two, the solution comes. Lord Varaha appears. Because the scale is pretty big. The earth fell out of its orbit. That's pretty dramatic. And so now controllers of the universal affairs, they need to attend to it, and they're limited. You get the picture. The correlation with us is we have to attend to things, and we're limited. It's beyond our capacity. Let's just speak really briefly, and then I'm going to end. Social activism. Young people know what that term means. Older people don't know so much. But it, you know, there are causes, and you get behind a cause. And it's a very powerful force in the world today. It's particularly significant for younger generation people. But just last night, one gentleman in the audience came and was, "Could you sit still? You, sit still. It's distracting. Thank you." So many causes, so many atrocities, so many bad things, so many. And what are we supposed to do? You know, the news procedure gives everything, all the bad news every day, just dumps it. People that are absorbed in the news, that's, you just get your head dumped. So what are we supposed to do? You get sad or get depressed, get angry, or, you know, so this gentleman was speaking about social activism and speaking up and, you know, doing something, getting involved and making a difference and all those rhetoric things. So, when you have, if you're doing gardening, and you see in the garden, there's a weed, or there's a certain variety of weeds, and there's a lot of them, not just one of them. So, one thing you can do is just get out some clippers and clip them, and, you know, toss them away. Come back a couple of days later, and there it is again, because the root is there. So what's the root cause of the conditions of the age of Kali, where there's all these bad things that happen all the time? The garden is filled with weeds. What's the cause? It's the root. It's the cause of the weeds. So you have to remove the root. Otherwise, you'll be endlessly engaged in addressing maladies. It's the age of Kali. So with the root, for the Vyasadeva, we look to Vyasadeva, one of the 12 Mahajans. When he saw, he compiled the Vedic literature and then specifically Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's right within the pages of the Bhagavatam. Janata Agha Viplava. In this age, there are Janata Agha, they're persons who are very sinful. They're not abiding by the laws of Manu. They're not seeing the creation with the lens of what is its purpose and how to live our life to fulfill that purpose, that is elevation of consciousness and satisfying the personality of Godhead. So it's so the root is forgetfulness of Krishna, and the root solution is remembrance of Krishna. Engage in propagating that knowledge through sound vibration and other means of what the root cause of material suffering is and its alternative. That's what we do about social activism. It's limited and temporary, just same as the whole of the material creation. Anything that's maybe elevating or good, limited and temporary. So it doesn't mean we don't say anything, but we say things with the context of what's the root. The root of the problem is our forgetfulness of Krishna. You know, some people, you're oversimplistic. Something that Prahlad says is those attempts to overcome the problem, that the what is created by the attempt to overcome the problem is more problematic than the problem. The complexity of society hasn't made it easier to solve life's problems. Make things more complex. It gets more puzzling. And then you're more tied into the complexity still without a solution. Okay, so the practical activities of back, summary. The practical activities of life, we need to perform them, and we need to perform them responsibly within, you know, the unit of the family and the unit of the community and the civic duties. So that our lives within society are not, we're not isolationists, but we're interested in the root for our own lives, the root solution to the problems, and within our family, within the community. And therefore we hear and chant and we propagate Krishna consciousness. It's a real self-interest to do so. And because it's our real self-interest to do so, we're imparting that same benefit to others so their real self-interest can be achieved. And it's not oversimplistic. It's very practical. See if there's any discussion.
Is the world by nature itself is complex, or we are making it complex to create problems for ourselves?
Both.
Yeah. And further question is, like, sometimes
the lower we go into the modes of nature, the more the complexity becomes evident. But the complexity is there already. Just take a body. Take a cell in the body. It's very complex. Go ahead.
Sometimes we see people who are involved in social activism. They try to make things better. So they are simply wasting their time, or there should be...
It's incomplete. One way to say they're wasting their time. Another way is to say it's incomplete.
Thank you, Maharaj.
The root is still in, and the misconduct will still continue because the root is still in and growing. Someone else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.